from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, we got to do it. We got to talk about it. Good morning, everybody. Hey, Jesse.
What's up, Kyle?
That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. No James Hamm today. Kings media availability, postseason media availability just started right now. So James of the Kings beat is down there. He's getting sound. He's getting video. Make sure to check out James_HammNBA on Twitter for whatever he posts there. We'll have more sound and stuff for you as we continue breaking down this Kings offseason after a very disappointing game Friday night in New Orleans. 105-98, the final, but it wasn't. It wasn't that close. Yeah. It's hard not to be disappointed with that, man.
Well, it was just the same as the game a couple weeks ago. The Kings made their runs, like, oh, they're there. And it's just, no, Pelicans are just better. You're just kind of waiting. It's like, oh, it's probably not going to happen. Every time the ball got loose to Trey Murphy and he threw up a three, went in two. And at that point, you kind of, as a sports fan, it's like, no, we don't got it today.
Yeah, you could just feel it. When was it Larry Nance had the back-to-back dunks?
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, man.
Standing by himself.
It was hard because I get that there were a lot of people who went into that game going 0-5 against this team. Luck of the draw, you know, tough.
Well, I was thinking going into it was like 0-5. You can't go 0-6. No chance.
That's where I was. I went into that game and I talked about it on the radio. I felt like they were going to win. I felt like that game on April 11th was that's a regular NBA game. They just kind of lost. The Pelicans hit a bunch of threes. If they go 18 of 40, like they're the Kings are right there. And I just it hit me during that game that the reason the Pelicans are such a matchup problem is like, yeah, the size and the length, but one of the other things we talked about on Friday was, hey, this isn't like a great team. This isn't a 60-win team.
Yeah, they're not like anyone's finals pick right now or anything like
that. They're imminently beatable, but what the Kings don't have that can really affect the Pelicans, and I think this comes back to something we talk about a lot on the Insiders and with you guys on D'Lo and KC, is the Kings don't have a wing, a player over 6'3", who is just, okay, get him the ball, they're going to put the ball on the deck, and they're going to go score.
Yeah, it's low-key been a problem the last few years, but you got kind of put to the side because they made, I don't want to say because they made playoffs, but we're working around it, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's the, like, I know that's obvious, right? Everybody would love to have Jason Tatum. Everybody would love to have Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
It's not even necessarily that level of player, though. It's just somebody over 6'7" that Herb Jones has to go bother instead of De'Aaron Fox, or who's going to make CJ McCollum work defensively in a way that the Kings don't right now.
Well, yeah, because like the Pelicans, you can only, well, not only, but like, this dude's just cutting and sitting in the corner the whole time or whatever. He's fine. Let's go get Fox or whoever. I was like, yeah, you need someone else who can do something else.
Yeah, and that was it. the Pelicans were active. They and that's where their length becomes a problem against a team like Sacramento that wants to move the ball and that wants to kick it around, is there's going to be hands in those passing lanes. And at some point, you need somebody to say, hey, you know what? Clear out. We need a bucket. Go get it. And typically, De'Aaron can be that guy. And this is why this is not a this is not to disparage De'Aaron Fox, because there's a lot of teams that De'Aaron Fox is just going to go cook against. It doesn't matter who's defending him. But the Pelicans just have the right combination of players that make life difficult for a player like De'Aaron Fox or any player who's under 6'4".
Yeah, and like Fox, you obviously want your best player to show up in those kind of games. It's kind of unreasonable. Just every game, you do need a plan B at some point.
I totally agree.
Your plan B was hurt. I mean, at that point, it's not the Malik Monk. That's not even a plan B at that point, because it's just once he's done, you're just cashed.
Right. And that's where, okay, and that was my worry, my kind of biggest worry going into Friday, was that game Tuesday against the Warriors was awesome. That was a peak version of the Kings. You got a great De'Aaron game. You got a great Keegan game. Keon Ellis knocked down his shots. Domas did what Domas does. Harrison Barnes came on late and helped put the game away. You got your bench wasn't good, but it wasn't a disaster. So, hey, look, that's the formula. But the problem is that's asking for a peak game, game in and game out.
Yeah, you need to be perfect every time, and that's just not sustainable.
Yeah, their margin of error is very, very slim. It's kind of like the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo, where, yeah, they're really good, but like when it comes down to it, do you have the dude? And right now, against the Pelicans specifically, I don't think the Kings have the dude.
Mm-mm.
And that's, I think, kind of underscores the bigger problem with the Kings right now.
Yeah, it's something where, I mean, we kind of saw it all season a bit, but just something where Monty McNair's got to fix it for next season.
That's
like,
it.
That's all it comes down to now.
It's yeah.
Like, you didn't make playoffs, and we'll talk more about them, the season as it is and all that later on, but you didn't make playoffs or whatever. We know why and what you need.
Yes.
Like, it's just now you got to fix it now.
That's it. I don't think there's a big secret.
Mm-mm.
Here with Sacramento. I just, the whole thing about needing a bigger scorer or a wing scorer, a more reliable wing scorer, and maybe Keegan's that guy. Maybe Keegan, who we saw like spurts of being a go-to, like number two type of guy this year, but he just wasn't that night in and night out. He certainly wasn't that on Friday. And so, okay, that's fine. Now you're... Next year, there needs to be that leap if they're not going to go get somebody.
Yeah, now we're going into year three. We drafted you number four overall, and we drafted you because of this. So yeah, at this point, it's like, all right, Keegan, like, it's time to get going now.
And that's kind of it. Like, when it comes down to, I think there'll be, and again, I don't want to get too deep into the offseason right now. We got months to talk about it, but there'll be some adjustments to the roster for sure. You may see them bring in some size. You may see them, maybe go bring in a bunch of undrafted guys who are like 6'8 and above and just kind of see how things work out. Maybe there's a free agent who winds up signing here for relatively cheap, and you go, okay, yeah, that's a nice little improvement. That's a nice little upgrade. But as far as like, I don't think Paul George is coming.
It's something where it's like, hey, maybe Paul George is not realistic.
Sure.
Maybe it could happen, but it's like,
that's a name who will be out there for sure. But realistically, when you're looking at the Kings, it's got to be, it's going to have to be Keegan, I think. But that was the big kind of light bulb that went off for me during that game, was this isn't a matter of the Kings need to move the ball better. This isn't a matter of they need to defend better or they need to defend differently. It's just like, dude, they could not keep up offensively. They just didn't have the horses.
Yeah, and against
New Orleans. And that's why New Orleans beat them six times. That's crazy.
That's
beating
tough.
A team six times in a year.
Because like I said, going into it on Friday, I'm kind of like, well, you had five, like you took the test five times. You failed five times. You got to know the answers or whatever. All right. And it's just, they didn't. They still failed it. And it's the same way again. It wasn't like the Pelicans did anything different or whatever. It was just the same thing again.
Do you know I failed my driver's test three times?
All right, now that we're being honest, I failed my permit test four times. The lady hooked me up, though, and she didn't, because like after that, you got to go back to driver's school or whatever.
Yeah.
Do the permit stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
She hooked me up. She didn't like, all right, I'm not going to mark this or whatever. So I got to take it again after that. I passed the fourth time.
How did I
pass the driver's test the first time?
So I failed the driver's test three times because of I didn't miss enough, because you can miss X amount of points. This is when I was doing this. This is 15 years ago or however long it is. 17 years ago. Oh my God. This is when I was doing it. It may be different now, but there were like fatal errors you could make that were like automatic fail.
Yeah.
or you could miss X amount of points. And you could miss like 16 points on the driver's test and still pass, which is wild. It's got to be like three strikes, you're out. But
you would think, I mean, come on, we can be a little strict on this.
if I'm driving with somebody and they do 16 things and I'm like, I'm not driving with that person anymore. But anyways, I failed the first one. In my three fails, I did not miss enough points to fail combined. But I didn't look over my shoulder as I was making a right turn at a stop sign.
Yeah.
I didn't check my blind spot for a bicyclist where there was no bike lane. So I got an automatic fail for that. I got another one where I pulled out into an intersection because the light turned green and I didn't wait until the cars had all gone. So I was just sitting in an intersection, automatic fail. And the other one was my bad. I looked left, I looked right, I looked left again. I looked back right while making a left and a car started coming when I hadn't looked back to my left. And the instructor had to be like, whoa, and that's instructor intervention, automatic fail.
Bro, you were almost the Buffalo Bills at driver's test.
Bro, seriously.
Almost, but you got that fourth one.
But the fourth one, and this is where, again, I was almost the Buffalo Bills at driver's test, because you have to go back, you have to redo the written test, which is super embarrassing. All my friends are driving. I'm like, not yet.
I'll see you guys in a bit.
My mom's going to drop me off. So I had to redo the test. I the fourth time I did it, I passed. But on the fourth time, I missed the most points I had missed on any of the tests. I just didn't have an automatic fail.
That's how I passed my permit test. I missed the most I could miss, but we still passed. That's all that matters. We drove here today, Kyle. We drove here today.
Come on. Hopefully, the Kings can pass the test next season. They certainly didn't on Friday against the Pelicans. And we'll continue diving into this. 105-98 the final there in New Orleans at Smoothie King Center. We'll talk about some of the fallout of that game as we go along. Again, Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. James out at Kings Media Day. He will be back tomorrow for a full debrief on the Kings season and what we have coming up for Sacramento. Honestly, though, when you watch how the playoffs went over the weekend, maybe it's good the Kings weren't in.
I won't go that far. I see the vision.
I'm joking.
But yeah, no, these games were tough this weekend.
Those are brutal, dude.
All of them except for probably two of them.
I got Pelts Thunder as one of them. What was the other one?
We'll go Knicks, Sixers. I mean, that was kind of close-ish.
Yeah, that was a good game.
Yeah.
That was all right, I guess.
It was better than everything else. Everything else was a blowout.
Everything else is so bad.
I'm not. We're going to talk about it later, but there's a series I'm just not. I'm not touching that.
We're going to rank the series in order of watchability later on. But you and I have talked about, because if you're unfamiliar, Jesse works out of Studio One. When I finish my show, The Insiders, I go hang out in there to do my post-show stuff usually. And Jesse and I have just been talking like, man, playoffs just need to get here. One, Kings need to make the playoffs. Two, playoffs need to just get here. I just can't wait.
I had a whole morning planned out for Celtics Heat.
You were fired up.
Yeah, like I said, I texted you that day. I was like, yeah, got all my chores out the way or whatever. I'm glued to the couch. We picked up the donuts at 8 a.m., had the coffee ready to go. We were set.
And then just a dud.
Yeah, blowout after blowout.
It's brutal, dude. We'll talk about that as well. A lot of duds. The Kings game on Friday. Most of the playoff games this weekend. We're going to dive into all of that. But I want to know something about you, Jesse. And you in the chatty house, shout out to all you, good morning. Or you listener, whether you're on the free Odyssey app or listening on ESPN 1320. I want to know about you as a fan. And I want to know how you deal with a loss like the one the Kings suffered on Friday. Are you the type of person who avoids it entirely for the next 2 weeks or month or until next season? Do you immediately dive into the draft and free agency? What is it? I want to know how people cope with tough losses, because it is a fascinating range.
I was going to say, because being a fan, like, there's just so many different type of fans. So yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, we'll dive into that. 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. That's the Farmer's Dog talk line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. 916-909-1320. Phone lines are unlocked if you want to jump in today. We definitely want to hear from you after the Kings 105-98 loss to the Pelicans. How do you grieve a loss as a fan? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
No James Hamm today. He is at Kings Media Availability, Kings Postseason Media Availability. Players, coaches, I'll talk to the media. James is down there getting sound and video. Jesse Tapia, producer of D'Lo and KC, hopping in with us to kind of try and crack open this Kings loss to the New Orleans Pelicans. Not a ton to say about the game specifically. It just kind of went.
It was on Friday. We didn't break it down. Now it's just on to the offseason.
We've seen it. I want to know, though, as a fan, how do you, Jesse, deal with your favorite team losing a big game?
Depends on the expectations.
Okay.
Like if. All right, so
that's a good point. Yeah, go on.
I'm a Dolphins fan in the NFL, Celtics fan in the NBA.
Okay.
Completely different lives with these sports.
Totally.
Dolphins have been just horrible, inept, or whatever, except for the last couple of years now. They're starting to figure it out or whatever. So it's just like watching the Dolphins, like after they went 1-15 in 2007, I was like, as a kid, I was like, this is just my
really
life.
Bad.
I'm just going to expect this or whatever. So like when your team kind of, like you expect them to stink, once it's over, it's like, all right, whatever then.
Okay.
On to the offseason. But like if the Celtics lose the finals this year, like a running joke is like, I'm just going to quit this and go do trade school and just forget sports. Like that's going to hurt. That'll hurt.
That would stink.
Yeah.
That'd be tough.
It's just, yeah, when you expect your team to do so well, and it's like, oh, yeah, they can do it. And you get that hope as a fan because, like, we only get to see our teams win every so now and then.
So the 22 finals after game six, are you a person? Because I have friends. So here's how I do it. 49ers lose the Super Bowl. That Super Bowl doesn't exist to me anymore. Like, I know what happened. I'll acknowledge, the 49ers last game, or they lost the Super Bowl because of XYZ, but I'm not watching it. There's a replay on. I'm turning the TV off.
Yeah, no, I can't rewatch full games of your team.
I have friends who will night of Super Bowl loss rewatch it multiple times.
Have you ever asked them why?
What kind of sicko does that?
Yeah, like why do they do that?
Because they're just like, I need to know what happened, and it's how they process it. And I'm like, I know exactly what happened. I have the three plays in my brain, or two plays, or however many it was. I have the three plays in my brain that happened. Then I know how it could have gone different, and I know what I would have done different, and that's all I need. But they're like, I need to soak in it.
Yeah, no, I can't do that.
I'm going to rewatch the game. I'm going to listen to all the podcasts. I didn't listen to NFL podcasts for 2 weeks. I don't do any of that.
See, we were talking about a bit before the show. An example for me is Dolphins, Bills in the playoffs, I think. Couple of seasons ago, or whatever, last season, or whatever you want to call it. Miami was down 17-0, or whatever. They come back, and then I think early second half, Zach Sealer sacks Josh Allen, picks up the ball, scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
Miami's up 24-20 at that point, I think, or whatever. It's just vibes were all good. After that, Miami blows the game. When I go back and watch highlights, I turn it off after Zach Sealer scores his touchdown. That way, I don't go back and oh, I'm all sad and stuff like that. Like, I leave that highlight or whatever, that game. Like, oh, yeah, that was pretty cool or whatever. Like, watching with my fam and stuff. I turn it off as soon as he scores.
I think that works a little bit. But even for me, what was the guy's name? Not Kyle Slaughter. That's the only name that's coming into my brain. Who was their quarterback in that game? Their third stringer.
Skylar Thompson.
Going into that game, it would have been like, ah, well.
Yeah.
Like, so I wouldn't mind watching highlights of that one.
See, but they gave me the hope, too. It's just the hope that comes from it and all that.
What they say in Ted Lasso, it's the hope that kills you.
I've never seen Ted Lasso, actually.
Oh.
I feel like that's one I probably need to see.
It's a heartwarming show. Yeah, it's really nice. YouTube.com/ESPN1320. We're in the chatty house right now. Ryan Mulvaney says he's been diving into the NBA draft. That's how he's coped. EEaton85 says it's all okay as long as the teams I hate don't win.
That's a big one.
That's a vibe.
If I'm not winning, my rivals better not win.
Yeah, I feel that. I just start hate watching everything.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm right there. Like last year, big Chiefs guy in the Super Bowl. After the Eagles lost,
I got that.
I was like, I kind of want the Chiefs to win.
No,
I'm not.
It's okay to be a hater as a sports fan too. Let me just say that. I feel like that's looked down upon now and stuff like that. You can be a hater as a sports fan. That's okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be rational. It's sports, bro.
Whatever.
Yeah, just be. I don't like that guy because I don't like his face. Zach Collins, I'm out. Can't stand Zach Collins. Just something about him. Never done anything to me. Never done anything to a team I like. Just can't stand him.
That's how I feel about Rafe LaFrance.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just irrationally hate Rafe LaFrance.
Yeah, just never like Rafe LaFrance as a kid.
Like if a Kings fan, here's what Kings fans right now. I get the whole I'm going to root for the team that beat us. And so that way, if they win, we're going to be like, dang, it just ran into a buzzsaw. No.
I'm going to go the other way on that.
If I'm a Kings fan, bro, I hate every member of the Pelicans.
See?
With a passion.
No, if the Pelicans make a... If I'm a Kings fan, the Pelicans make a run to the finals and they win it, what can we do?
Bro.
What can we do? They won the finals.
That's it. If I'm a Kings fan today, I want the Pelicans to lose in four. Get them out of my life.
No, because it makes it so much worse. It's like we lost to the team that just got swept. Really, we lost for this?
Yeah, but that's fine. No, but that's fine. It's like, good. Screw them.
How long does it take you to get over your team's loss?
Oh, dang.
For me, I feel like it's a few days because I can kind of like...
That super depends.
Yeah. Like after the finals, like I was mad for like a week and stuff like that, but I was also rationalizing like they just like the Celtics just didn't do it. Like it's just,
yeah,
it was on them or whatever.
Yeah, it kind of depends. Like 2016... Game 7 sat with me forever. Like, that's just there.
That's an all-timer, though.
That's just there, bro.
That's you're going to see that every year for the rest of your life.
The LeBron block and the Kyrie shot are two of the great plays in NBA history.
Yeah, any highlight tape, anything.
It's just
going to
be there. And every time it's going to sting, no matter what. Like, that is just going to hurt. But I won't... If the replay was on right now, I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, turn it off. And you saw at the D'Lo and KC live show before the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm,
out at Sky River Casino. They had the replay of the 2019 Super Bowl on, and me and Kenny, you know, joking about the game. Hey, that's okay. I'm over that now. But it takes a while for me.
Yeah.
If it's a loss, it really stings. Like, the Warriors losing this year to the Kings didn't, whatever. Like, that was, A, it was way better for me. B, I saw a lot of my friends very happy, including everybody here in the chatty house. Like, yes, shout out. I'm there for it. If that had been like 2016 or 2017, would have felt different. You know, that would have been tough.
So is what, like, because Eric in the chat right here is like, still not over Game 7, 2002. Like,
yeah,
what
was never going to be
like your Super Bowl? Like, that's your moment right there as a sports fan. Like, the worst loss.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But the first one to the Ravens in 2011 or 2012, the 2012 season. That one will never. That was that like. I lost friendships over that.
Really?
It was like, dude, I walked around for 2 months like my dog died, bro. Seriously. I was despondent.
See, that's why you need to lose a bit as a sports fan, I feel like. Or not even... Well, you're in the Super Bowl, so that's different. I could never relate to that, like in the NFL or whatever. Uh-huh. I feel like if you lose enough, like it's just, it molds you. Like you're fine after that. Like nothing can break you as a sports fan or whatever. But like I said, I guess in the Super Bowl, it's just completely different just because your team is there.
Somebody mentioned the Robert Horry shot. Like, yeah, you're just never going to get past that as a Kings fan.
Aaron Boone, 2003.
The Aaron Tim Boone Wakefield homer, yeah.
I have a story about that. Like, I was like seven, I think.
Jess is a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, I'm a Red Sox fan, by the way. Yeah, dad's at work or whatever and stuff like that. Mom's there watching the game with me. Aaron Boone hits his home run. I'm just distraught. Like, cursing out Babe Ruth. Like, why did he curse the Red Sox? Blah, blah, blah. Like, just crying, bro. My mom, like, she's not a sports fan, really. She's just like, dude, what's wrong? Like, she called my dad at work. Like, hey. What's wrong with your kid or whatever? Like, you need to talk to him and let him know it's all right.
Dude, he was so proud right there.
No, right? Like, you need to let him know it's all right. Like that moment is always going to sit with me. Just like Aaron Boone, like, it's just, I'll never forget it. And like, that's like just where I was and stuff like that.
Aldrin J in the chat said, I'm still not over the Mets losing game 4 of the World Series against the Royals. And that was what, 2015?
Yeah, yeah.
Oof. Dang. That's almost 10 years.
See, Manny, Cubs guy, can't get over the Marlins-Bartman series?
Of course. That is
the most fascinating sports story, I think, ever for me. Just Steve Bartman and stuff like that. Because I don't know, like, did he ever talk, like, after? Like, do an interview or anything like that?
I don't think so.
See, I don't think he ever did anything.
30 for 30. I've not watched it.
Yeah, I don't think he ever did anything like a fish. At least I've never seen it. So just the fact that we never, because you know sports, like, you hear from people and stuff. Like, we never heard from Steve Bartman or anything like that. And that dude just went into hiding. Like, imagine his life as a sports fan.
Yeah, I think, and this is the King, John Poles as the Kings losing in 0-2, just never, and that's just going to hang with you. And that's what, dude, being a sports fan is so weird. It's such a weird thing because it's just all these moments. We're talking about the Kings losing to the Pelicans right now.
It's all disappointment, really.
And it's just, it is so much disappointment for that one
and
moment.
And it's so worth it too, though.
It is like, oh, you just forget all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, look at last year in Sacramento. 16 years of frustration and of losing and being a punchline, just vibes all year.
Literally all year.
All season.
Time of everyone's life, I felt like.
And that was incredible. You know, the playoffs didn't go the way people wanted them to, but it's like, that was awesome.
Yeah, because I feel
that,
like you...
that, I don't want to say you'd say, yeah, we'll do another 16 years of nothing for that. It's not that necessarily, but that high is just so high. We got to hit a break. We'll continue talking about this. We'll continue talking about the Kings just kind of season overall. We're not going to dive in necessarily to the loss, into the loss to the Pelicans, but there's still plenty to talk about with how people are coping with losing to the Pelicans and then how we should look at this Kings season in general, because I think there's really only one way to look at it, but we'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
A lot of important conversations going on today.
Yeah, were we having too much fun on that break? Did we come in on the stream talking about this month and stuff?
That's fine. Yeah, no. It's good. It's good. King's season is over. Disappointing game Friday. And I don't know. And Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. James is out at Kings postseason media availability. He will be back tomorrow to continue breaking down the Kings season overall and looking ahead to the offseason, which we'll be doing plenty here on the Insiders as well as on D'Lo and KC, the show that Jesse produces. Also, the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway is still going on.
Yes.
It continues into this week, so we will have a code word for you coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. We're giving away $500. You go to ESPN1320.com, you enter the code word that we are going to give you, and you will be entered to win $500. D'Lo and KC will give you a code word later on.
A little bit after 3 o'clock.
That will also give you a chance to win $500. So you get two opportunities by listening to ESPN1320 to win $500. So stay locked in. We'll be giving that away sometime in the 11 o'clock. I don't know how I saw some of this online, and I understand it, and I'm curious to hear from people in the chatty house, or if you want to call the show, 916-909-1320. That is 916-909-1320. That is the Farmer's Dog Talk Line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. I don't know how you view this season as anything other than disappointing.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, as far as like the season by itself, yes, it was unsuccessful. You didn't make playoffs. You won 46 wins. Cool, that got you the ninth seed in the NBA this season. Like, yeah, it's pretty simple for me, I feel like.
That's it.
Like, sure, there's some things that you can take away. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a positive and all that. And, like, to see what it looks like next season, like Keon Ellis and all. But, I mean, as far as the season by itself, yeah, it was unsuccessful.
And that's a key point that you make. Is disappointing doesn't mean catastrophe, blow it up, everything is awful.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, no, we have to trade everyone, blow it up, trade Fox. Yeah, it's not doing that.
It is not that whatsoever. That's what Golden State is dealing with right now is that. That's not, the Kings aren't there for me yet. And if somebody is, if you're a Kings fan and you're like, nope, this just isn't, okay, I guess premature, but.
Call us and talk to us why.
Yeah, but it's 916-909-1320. Phone line's open now. I just don't know how, there's no way, understanding fully that for 16 years this club was largely irrelevant in the NBA landscape. And then last year they were the 3 seed. He's kind of an inflated seed because of the way the standings were. But 48 wins is still good enough to be a playoff team in 99 seasons out of 100.
Yeah.
So they win 48 games. All right, good. Trajectory's going up. But then they go lateral with the roster. What the hope, and we talked about it on this show, is like, okay, well, hey, Kevin Huerter can get better. Malik Monk can get better. Another step forward for De'Aaron Fox. Another step forward for Domas. Keegan taking a leap. All this stuff that was all like, yeah, hey, great in theory. A lot of it didn't pan out.
Yeah, no, I feel like a lot of Monty's moves too, like as far as the little ones, like Chris Duarte and stuff like that, stuff didn't work. Sasha didn't work. Just like Keon, like he stepped up and developed the season and whatever, yeah. But there just wasn't much. Where it's like everything went right last season. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't the case this year.
And that's what scares me. That scares me. But that's my biggest concern, is that last year was the anomaly. And my hope is that, not that they can't go win 50-plus games next year, I think they can, but last year, they didn't deal with a lot of the injury stuff. And they won 48 games in a year where, hey, that was good enough for the 3 seed and have you battling for the 2 seed down the stretch. Whereas typically, yeah, you're going to deal with some injury stuff. You're going to be without De'Aaron Fox for a few games. Yeah, hey, you didn't have Malik Monk for the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season. That happens sometimes. And that's where I think the improvement needs to come, in their ability to, A, withstand a key injury like that. Again, not that every team does. If a team loses its second best score, like, that's tough. No doubt.
Yeah.
I just felt like they didn't have any... I felt like they didn't have another pitch after that.
Yeah, they weren't equipped to withstand that stuff this year. So, and I kind of look at Monty after that. Like, Monty's got to fix it all. Like, as far as this Kings roster...
That's
like,
it.
I'm over this Kings roster. Like, Kevin Huerter and stuff. I feel like Mike Brown has kind of moved past Kevin Huerter on that. Like, moves need to be made in the offseason.
Yeah. That... not to call out a single player, but that to me is the biggest question mark of, hey, what are they doing here? Because it was really clear to me, the brand of basketball that they played with Keon Ellis in the starting lineup instead of Kevin Huerter made them a really, really tough out, a really, really tough team to beat. Again, there are other problems with the roster, but that's the one. It's like, man, hey, if you can't move off Kevin Huerter, are you bringing him off the bench? Is he going to be a problem coming off the bench? Is that enough? Do you like him in that spot? There are so many things going on that... I'll come back to what you said. This is on the front office now.
Yeah, Monty's just got to work his magic. Like, we hear the stuff, like, it takes two to make a deal, this, and that. That's cool. You can use that set of talking points for the other 29 GMs in the league. At some point, you just have to make stuff happen. And now, like, this offseason and going into the season next year or whatever, like, it's his time now. Like, Mike Brown has kind of shown his stuff. Fox and Sabonis have done their part. Like, now, Monty, it's your time to shine.
That's it. Mike Brown got, in this coaching staff, got this team to buy in. You saw it at the end of the year. And frankly, I think if Malik Monk is healthy, they probably wind up in the playoffs. That's where I land anyway. If you disagree, fine. But I think now, I think Mike Brown is turning to the front office and going, okay, look, we have proof of concept here. This works defensively. Keon Ellis works in this starting lineup with De'Aaron Fox, and he allows us to do some different things with our rotations and what we're doing defensively. Like this works.
Yeah, you got the puzzle board. Like, it's a weird analogy, I guess, but you got the puzzle board now. Like, you know what pieces you need. Just go get them. And Aldrin in the chat kind of throws in, I saw Johnny do it, throw it in there too. They got to do right by Fox and Sabonis this offseason.
What does that mean?
That means you have two All-NBA players in the prime of their careers, mm-hmm. and that's going to last probably as far as them playing their best basketball, probably about 3-4 seasons or whatever, 5 maybe, who knows, mm-hmm. or whatever. But like, you got to maximize that. You got to maximize Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox's best basketball of their career. And I think what they're at, what Aldrin is saying basically is that you can't waste time with that right now.
No, I'm with you, man. The window's now, especially when you look at the standings right now. There are, I do this every time, dude. I can have 1,000 tabs open. I don't know why I close them. But if you go look, you have Phoenix, got Kevin Durant, who's aging. Don't know what you're going to get from Bradley Beal year in and year out. It wouldn't shock me if Phoenix over the next couple of years fell off. Same thing with the Lakers. Don't know exactly what the Pelicans are at this point. But you're expecting Golden State to fall off a little bit. You'll expect the Clippers over the next couple of years to fall off a little bit. Like, there are going to be opportunities to jump up and kind of take one of those spots that, yeah, hey, you know what? Pencil this team into the playoffs year in and year out. And I think the De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis Foundation is great. If you want to throw Keegan Murray in there, that's great. But I don't know what's after that.
Well, that's the thing. You can't even throw Malik Monk in there right now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. As I started to say Malik, but he might be gone.
Yeah. There's a chance if he gets offered a bag or whatever, I don't want to say he's probably, because I don't know what it's going to take for him to leave or whatever, but there's a good chance he's gone this season if he gets a bag or whatever.
I would be shocked if he gets offered 20 a year, because I think 17 is the most he can make.
17 and a half, I think, something like that.
If he gets offered 20 somewhere, I would be shocked if he doesn't take it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get these opportunities too much in the NBA.
An extra $3 million a year, or $2.5 million a year over the life of a 3 or 4 year deal? That's a lot of money, dude.
Yeah, but like, going back to it, like you mentioned, like, you can't even, like, we can't even mention him. Like, there's some uncertainty with, like, there's a chance he's not back, and that puts even more pressure on Monty just to figure it out. Like, there's no excuses right now.
Yeah. All this everything does come back to the front office.
It's literally, it's their, now this is their offseason.
But maybe this is on them, but I don't know that this is my greatest concern with the Kings right now. I'm not worried about Domantas Sabonis. I'm not worried about De'Aaron Fox. I'm frankly not super worried about Keon Ellis. Keegan Murray, I'm going to worry about a little bit in terms of they're banking on him being their number two guy or their go-to wing scorer.
If he were to realize like his potential, like what do you think that would be? Like where it's like, okay, yeah, Keegan Murray's here. Like, how much would he need to average and stuff like that?
What would he need to? I would need to see him taking comfortably, like, let me go see something real quick. He needs to shoot it more, first of all. He needs to be more aggressive, particularly off the bounce. I don't know. How many shots again did he finish at this year?
Don't have it in front of me, but I'm assuming he's probably around 13. I doubt it would be more than that.
Where was he at this year? Yeah, 12.7 a game.
That's not good enough.
I need like 17 shots a game? Mm-hmm. Like that kind of player, like 18 shots a game, like comfortably averaging 20 a night?
See, and if you're getting 18 shots from him a night or whatever, I feel like you're going to get that point production too.
He's
a good enough offensive player where it's it'll be there.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
But that's a question mark still for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I have no doubt about Keegan's ceiling. Mm-hmm. That's not, I'm not saying that he's not a good player. And frankly, he was 35.8% from three last year, or this season, after going 41.1 last year. I think you'll see his 3-point percentage tick up next year. And maybe that by itself gets him to 20. He was at 15.2 this year on just 13 shots a game. That's what I need to see. I need to see that aggressiveness. My concern is not what that aggressiveness looks like, because we see him get to the mid-range comfortably. He's got a little turnaround jumper he hits. He can get in the lane.
Yeah, he's
three-point shooter,
a three-level scorer just yet or whatever. But like you see the ceiling right there. He can be all that.
Yeah, 1,000%. It's just my question with Keegan is if that's the player he is.
Yeah,
if he's going to go do that on a night in, night out basis, and not just I'm scorching hot in the first quarter, so I'm going to keep shooting, because dude, if you go 0-for-5 in the first quarter, I need you to continue putting the ball up, and the Kings need him to continue putting the ball up. And that's where I think the front office, because again, you keep coming back to this is on Monty, and it is, but I also don't know exactly what they're going to be able to do this offseason. Because so they didn't make the playoffs. Picks are tied up in the future, because their draft pick this year, they keep it, so that doesn't convey to the Hawks. Unless they work something out with the Hawks where the Hawks decide to let it convey this year, which they might. I don't know.
Hawks, do us a solid.
Please. But their picks for now are tied up in the future. We talk about Kevin Huerter. Okay, what is Kevin Herter's value right now?
I don't think it's like too low, because I feel like even with the season he did and after the injury, like if you're trading for Kevin Huerter, you know what you're getting. Like, Kevin, we need you to sit on the three-point line or whatever, get these shots up. Like nothing really changed, I don't think.
Okay, so he's a three-point shooter coming off his worst season from three as a pro.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't play a ton of defense.
No.
An average 10 points a game.
Yeah, like I said, like he had a bad year or whatever, but like I feel like he'll probably come back to like what his averages were before that and stuff like that. Like I feel like he had a bad season or whatever, but he'll find the basket again.
You think people will look?
You're not giving up a first round pick for Kevin Huerter though, or anything like that,
right? And that's okay. And that's it. It's not. I ask these questions not because I think Kevin Huerter is bad at basketball. He's obviously a good basketball player. But is there a team itching to be like, yeah, we need to get Kevin Huerter in the door here. We're going to give up real assets for him.
He has 2 years left on his deal. If Malik,
sure. Let's say it's two. I'm looking it up right now to confirm.
I feel like Zach LaVine is like that name. If Malik Monk's not back or whatever, and you're kind of just, I don't even know if I like it either. I'm just throwing it up. That's just a name stuck in my head. Like if you just like Monk's not back, and you're not really finding, like, you don't really have, like,
two years left.
They don't have too many assets to work with or whatever. Casey always says, you need a player. We're probably going to have to trade for a player with warts. Like, that's probably the guy right there. If that's like plan C, plan D, maybe, or whatever. But, like, if all fails, because the Bulls probably don't want him around or anything like that. So that you could probably get away with something there. But I don't know if that's the deal. I don't even know if I like that. But it's just, I don't know.
The point being, you're not going to go get.
You're not getting
a elite level player.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges, like that dream, pipe dream is out the water.
Yeah, with no picks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and here's the other thing, Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes is not going to get you a lot, I don't think.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're just not going to get that, just what in your mind, oh, yeah, this guy would really fit. Like, it's going to be a little ugly, that trade, if it goes down. Maybe Monty finds a different way to work around the roster, because it's not just, Zach LaVine, that's it, or whatever. Like I said, I'm just throwing stuff out there. Just more so, maybe that's the kind of guy you got to trade for, just given the situation you're in and stuff like that. Like, you can throw insert player in that little situation, however, but.
Regardless of how you felt about this year, that's Jesse Tapia, I'm Kyle Madsen. James Hamm down at Kings Media Availability, he will be back tomorrow. I think that regardless of how you looked at this season, because again, there are people on the side of, hey, just happened to be in the play-in. That was great. Got to watch a couple extra Kings games. Lost to a team that had our number all year. See you next year. You know, moving on. But then there's people who are like, hey, I needed to see more this year. This is a disappointing outcome. And to me, no matter which side of that spectrum you fall on, you have to be demanding more this offseason. There has to be more from the Kings this year than, hey, we're going to run it back. Hey, we're going to get a Chris Duarte level player. Hey, this former first-round pick, we're going to bring him in and see if we can do it. oh, this random undrafted guy, yeah, we're going to bring him in and see if he... Colby Jones is going to be up here. We're going to try and give him some run. Maybe get Jalen Slauson some burn. Like, it just can't continue to be that.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that either. Like, that's just not going to work.
No, we... Again...
I mean, let's talk about it real quick. Mike Brown was going into the season already second-guessing Kevin Herter.
Yes.
Trying to see, oh, yes. What does Chris Duarte look like or whatever. And frankly, if Chris Duarte gets hurt, who knows? Maybe he's probably starting to start the season.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like just from that point on, maybe you kind of look at that like, okay, maybe something isn't kind of off with this or whatever. Let's just like my Mike Brown thought, yes, we need changes. Then yes, it's time for changes.
I'm hopeful that the front office sees it the same way. I'm hopeful that what the Kings did, particularly defensively, over the last half of the season, post All-Star break, is enough to make the front office go, okay, here's something that works. Like the Sabonis Fox thing with high level defenders and guys who can knock down some threes. But again, it comes down to, I think they need a bigger shot creator. And I think that's where Keegan Murray fits into the puzzle. Okay, there's your 6'8", a guy who can put the ball on the deck and in a big spot, go get you a bucket or two or three. That's fine. But I worry that Monty McNair, coming from the Daryl Morey school of team building, is like, well, then we want Kevin Herter because he can shoot threes.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I trust that. Especially because you saw how much better they were defensively when Keon Ellis was in the lineup instead of Kevin Herter.
It was a completely different team.
Totally different.
They formed an identity.
Right. And that's it. That's the nail on the head right there. Is it may not be the identity that they envisioned in coming out of 22-23, because in 22-23 there were this historically good, efficient offense, and everybody watch out, but they couldn't get any stops, and you saw that become a problem in their one playoff series. And I think you're going to see that bear itself out again over this playoffs. You saw the Mavs. The Mavs were rolling going into the postseason. They could not get a stop yesterday.
Nope.
And that matters. And so I'm wondering, if we talk about the front office, is there going to be a push-pull between Mike Brown going, hey, we need this type of player, and the front office going, no, we need this type of player?
I feel like I don't think we'll see it. I feel like the assets are tied up, so the moves might not look great or whatever, and it's like Monty won't have his work cut out for him. It'll be a little difficult or whatever, but I feel like they'll be on the same page and all that. It's just a matter of, can Monty make it happen with what he's got?
I'm skeptical.
I feel like I get that.
Skeptical. I just can't. I can't get on the train of. And again, if you're there, I don't blame you. But for me, I cannot get on the train of this is all fine.
It's not,
because thankfully they're just around. Because look, if that's your attitude, if that's how you're going to view this moving forward, if that's how you're going to view this team moving forward, then I think you're going to be really, really disappointed over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And
like,
again,
we're not saying too, like, oh, like you can't be, like you have to be all distraught or whatever, but more so it's just like, just all right, like this happened, or the season happened, like you're just expecting more now.
You can,
it's
even,
it's a standard.
It. That's it. You can be even happy about this year.
Yeah, yeah.
You can be like, hell yeah, 46 wins. We were in the play-in tournament. We didn't win it. Okay, fine. Good. I'm more happy people in the world is better than more sad people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're you know, bummed they lost, but you know what? Overall good year, because here they were. Great. But
now we got to get to work.
Right. This season I advocated for the run it back thing. Just totally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you kind of made your bed, and that's what this is. You move laterally with your roster. You moved about laterally in the wins and losses. That's what's going to happen. But now for me, there has to be some, there has to be a big move out there. And
you need to be a top six season at the end of next year. Like, you can't even be a play-in team. You need to be top six at this point in the build next year.
Yeah, I think, Yeah, I think that has to be the expectation for sure. And if they wind up as the seven, if they win 48 games again and they're the seven and they win that first play-in game, okay, that I'll rock with that. But I can't get behind a version of this team that's battling for play-in positioning at the end of the year.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry.
Progress has to be made.
I won't get there. There's no realm where I'm going to sit here at the end of this season, at the end of next season, if they've won 46 games and lost the first or second play-in game, going like, hey, well, hey, at least they're still around. Like that, right. that to me is deaded.
Yeah, even if you win 48 games and the West is really good and you're still in the play-in or whatever.
And it goes back to what Aldrin Jay and I think you said John Poles in the YouTube chat said. Like, it comes back to, you have Domantas Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
You have De'Aaron Fox. Two guys who were all NBA players last year.
Yeah, we don't know if Sabonis will make all NBA this season or whatever, but the numbers are the numbers. We know what he is.
All NBA caliber players.
Exactly.
Two of the most productive players in the league. You have them. This is not a random Kings team that got thrown together in 2013. And, oh, look, they won enough games to be a 9 seed. Like, no, man. You have good players.
I feel like they got the toughest part of the build out the way. Like, you have your guys. I was just making it work around them.
Yeah. And we could debate the toughest part of a build, but it's very clear to me what this team needs. And if the front office fails to go acquire those players, by whatever means, maybe it means scouting and finding a player with that draft pick now. Now that draft pick becomes really valuable because you need to get a player with it. Or maybe you're trading that pick for a player that fits this roster in a way that Chris Duarte didn't, that JaVale McGee didn't, that Kevin Huerter may or may not anymore.
Well, in a way that Keon Ellis did.
In a way that Keon Ellis did, thank you. Like, that's the goal now. This past offseason was, hey, try and keep this going. Okay, well, they did, and it didn't work. So now the proof of concept of what works and what does not work is very clearly laid out. It's very clearly there. And now you got to go do something about it.
Simple as that.
Because I can't. I'm sorry.
We still got a couple minutes before this break. It's got to be by this offseason, right? We can't wait till the trade deadline to make that move then?
Oh, my God.
I'm just asking questions too.
Dude.
It's got to be this offseason?
Bro, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And probably more moves at the trade deadline.
No, yeah.
Like, that's what this comes down to, man. If they legit go into this season with, like, Nerlens Noel as one of their signings and as pick another Chris Duarte type player who's just kind of flamed out on another team and was a free agent and they bring him in. Nah.
Yeah, that'll be a tough one.
I can't get behind that. Especially when you look around the league. Herb Jones and Trey Murphy and G.G. Jackson out in Memphis.
Well, you look at it, like, Houston's probably going to be better. They finished 500. They'll be better. Jalen Green's probably going to take a leap. Memphis will be better because Ja will be back. Spurs, they're maybe a move away, a point guard away from being dangerous or whatever. So at some point, we got to start running.
There are so many teams who are going to be super aggressive this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings have to be one of them.
Yeah, they got
to
ride that wave.
Flat out. All right, we'll continue talking about this. That's Jesse Tapia. He is in for James Hamm. James out of Kings Media Availability. He will be back tomorrow. We have $500 to give away. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs, which has been a little bit of a dud. And of course, as we will all offseason here on ESPN 1320, we'll be talking a lot about your Sacramento Kings as well. We'll be back in a second.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.